You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on July 16, 2025, and is titled, Believe God. Grab your Bible, and let's join Steve and the message.
All right, man, it's good to see everybody. Not believing, but I can see you. It's kind of a good little old story we're going to tell tonight, but it's going to come right out of Romans 4, and I think it's going to be life-changing, not only for me, but for some people in this room and some people outside this room. Tonight might be one of the most important little old words that I've given in a long time. It's going to be absolutely relevant, and however you respond to that word and however that word takes root in you, that'll be up to you. It won't be up to God. It'll be up to you what you do with this word and this testimony tonight. So I want to tell you something tonight, though, before we get started, because what I'm going to talk about tonight is this week has caused me to ponder a lot of stuff. And the Lord's had me up early every morning, it's been really nice just to go outside and sit and hear from him and visit with him and pray spiritually and mentally and everything else. And you'll wonder about some things when you've done this as long as I've done it and a lot of you've done it, but we've been gathering now for a long time. You wonder sometimes because the word that comes out of this little outfit right here is pretty dang good, and most of it's pretty dang salty, and there's not very many days you'll leave here and didn't get your money's worth, you know. And so you'll get to wondering every now and then, where's everybody at? Does not everybody have a need for the truth of the word? Or would we rather just walk this walk with our crutches? That's a good way to put it. Would we rather just walk this walk with our crutches? Or how are we going to do this? But I've come to realize after, and you can study history, it's how it really happened. We've had some big moves of God that affected a lot of people over days, weeks, months, years. And then it gets minimized. Because the reality of the power of God, the reality of the truth, the reality of the presence of God, the truth of it all, the more God manifests, the smaller the crowd will get. Now, there's a lot of people who don't believe that because you've associated moves with God with things that moved you emotionally. But if you're really going to walk with God, he's going to call you to something. And he's going to call you to something that's bigger than you. And it may just be in your everyday life, some little old something. It don't have to be big. The little story I'm going to tell you tonight, it ain't big. And it hadn't come to full fruition yet either. We're going to walk it out in public, see how it goes. But listen, when you get ready to really do this from now on for the rest of your life, the crowd gets smaller. If you don't believe me, read your Bible. 150 of them turned around and walked off from Jesus in one day. He didn't chase after them either. Jesus hadn't chased after anybody. It's us that chase after him. It's us who follow him. And so as we move from this night forward, mark this night down in your Bible, as we move from this night forward, our lives are going to continue to change. This will be a landmark night, a landmark word, a landmark testimony for a few of you. For the rest of you, it'll just be another Wednesday night. But tonight will mark a time in your life when you've made a decision. You're ready for something to be different than it's been. You got needs in your life, things in your life that you've been talking to God about all your life, but you've never allowed him to talk to you. You've never allowed yourself the opportunity to hear from God. Now, there's either two reasons for that. One, you don't believe that God will speak to you, and two, you're not born again. You see, people not born again, they're not going to listen to God either. But his people, his believers, they hear him. And he speaks according to his word. And he speaks by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who is him? Holy Ghost isn't a part of him. It's him. You get the full meal deal. And so tonight, before I pray and we get in the word, you know, last week we talked about by faith and through faith. That was a pretty powerful word until about Tuesday. You got to figure out if you're one who believes in God or if you're somebody who believes God. And that's huge. That's huge. So let's pray, and then I'll put my readers on, and we'll get in the word. Father God, I just want to thank you tonight for your word. I thank you for the things you call us to, things that are bigger than us, things that make us nervous, fearful, doubtful, things that change us forever and change everything around us. Lord, I'm as ready as anybody to see more amongst everybody, more of your miracles, your signs, your wonders. But Lord, help us to be mature enough to handle it. Let everything that happens around here be real. No playing church, no faking anybody out. For real. Us and you, Jesus. Let's do this. I think it's time. So, Lord, here we are. Speak. Your servants listen. And show us the most excellent way for every situation in our life. And we praise your name, Jesus, the name above all names. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles with you, which I hope you do, you know, that's one of the problems with American Christianity today. You can remember your bonnet. You can remember your necktie. You can even remember your tithe check. They still can't remember to bring their Bibles. It's kind of amazing. If you don't read your Bible, bring your Bible to a Bible study, then you probably don't read it at home. So that's just a blunt little old statement I like to say every now and then. But tonight we're going to talk about faith. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain what you cannot see. So let me tell you about faith. It's impossible for non-believers to have faith because you got to be sure of what you hope for, and you got to be absolutely certain about what you can't see. Therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People who profess to be followers of Jesus and not students of their Bible, they're liars. That's just the truth. And if you don't operate in the truth, you can't operate in Christ. That's another truth. And so here we are. I was going to do chapter 4, but I'm going to do 4 verses of chapter 4. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found? What shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. We talked about that a little bit last week about the boasting. There's more of it goes on than what we know. You know, I told y'all that one of the things when they bump into somebody from days gone by or whatever, they'll ask you, how's your church? How's your church doing? Well, there's an open door for a boast. I just look at them. I don't know how to answer that question. I've about preached it vacant, but out away from here, I don't know. I think the word is hitting ears of people all over the place. I don't know. I can walk by every row in our building, if a few folks we got around here, and slap somebody on the back, and they're fully equipped to handle any situation or anything at any time. And quote, I don't know what to tell you. We don't take up an offering, but we do extravagant giving. Which part do you want me to tell you on how my church, what do you want me to brag on? I can tell you I can brag on Jesus. I don't know that it's so smart to brag on your church, your organization, your group, all the good things you're doing. He said if he would have done this on his own, Abraham, just done it by his works, and he'd have something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. Isn't that the truth? Anybody who works, you're owed the money. How many of y'all want to work for free? But how many want free stuff without the work? We got plenty of them. Yeah, called freeloaders. We got a lot of them. But if I'm going to work, then I should get the money. That's not grace. That's debt. That's owed to me. On the same token, there's nothing you can do to overcome, to create an over-manifestation of grace. This is all done by faith. When we go on and finish this chapter, it'll be all about faith. But right now we're going to talk about Abraham, because it says here that he believed God. He didn't just believe in God. He didn't believe just there was a God. He believed God. That's huge. He believed God. When we go over here and turn in your Bibles with me over here to Galatians 3, and we're just going to cover this a little bit right quick. But right over here in Galatians 3, I think it's where it's at. Let me look here. Okay, yeah, in Galatians 3. Let's start about verse 6. You know what? I'm just going to start in verse 1. I kind of like that old thing. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Here in a minute, I'm going to tell a story, and it's going to make a lot of sense. Because in America today, we've been bewitched. We've been bewitched by things that are not the truth. Yet they are the standard. They're the standard. They become the standard of obedience. Yet it's not the truth. What happens when a lie becomes your standard of obedience to God? Can't happen. So is your obedience to your own mentality of Christianity? What are you obedient to? Or are you just simply doing the things Christians do because you believe in God? Or do you have a relationship with that very same God whom you can believe? That might sound, you know what, I'm kind of sounding like Paul tonight. A little confusing, so I'll go slow. But it's really not confusing. You can believe in a lot of things. But to believe somebody, you have to actually know them. You have to actually be able to hear. You have to be able to discern. And so he says here in the rest of that chapter, he said, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? That's why it tells us in the book of Revelation, do not forsake your first love. Don't forget the height from which you've fallen. Because every one of us who are truly born again, that first experience with Jesus Christ, that day when we surrendered, that day that we received the Holy Spirit, that very moment in time, everybody has one. If you don't, you should get one. That moment. What happens next? We start in our religion. Here comes the crutches. Here comes the glasses. Now, it can work both ways. I'm not telling you that you can't have somebody help you. I can't tell you that Bible studies are not good. I can't tell you that prayer groups are not beneficial. But I will tell you one thing. When they tell you Sunday's the Sabbath, it's a lie. When they tell you Easter's the resurrection and the crucifixion and the Passover, that's a lie. When they tell you Jesus was born on the 25th of December, that's a lie. If they tell you that 1 hour a week is called worship of God, that's a lie. If they tell you that this is the house of God, that's a lie. He does not live in temples built by human hands. It's a lie. And the moment you get struck and overwhelmed by your reality of Christ, the whole world calls you into a lie. And if you don't get one of these, you'll stay stuck there the rest of your life. There's a reason that we don't see the lame walking and the dead raised and the blind to see and the mute to speak and the deaf to hear. There's a reason that's not happening. Because we can't see clearly and we don't believe God. We believe in God. We believe there is one. We believe that there's a God, but there's also a guy that can tell us what God said and what God means and how God's going to be. We believe that there are people around us that can just pray better than we can. We're so bad in America today, we got prophets on the payroll. Those are hirelings. This is good stuff tonight. And so he goes on and he says right here, this I only want to learn from you. Did you? Oh, we already did that. Hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, perfect by the flesh? This is what it's talking about. You began in the Spirit and now you've become the perfect Christian by your performance. The whole town knows you're a Christian because of where you park your car and park your carcass. Wouldn't know you by your fruit. But we belong to the Christian community. Good job, team. And so he says right here, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How would we answer that question? He's not doing anything. Sure gets quiet. He says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's the second place. He believed God. Personally believed him. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Only those of faith. You see, I don't care who you are, what country you're born in. I don't care if you were manifest in the dead center of Jerusalem.
The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you're going to live by the law, you're going to die by the law. If you think circumcision is absolutely necessary for salvation, then you got to know that there's 635 or whatever it is, more things that you got to do, and you got to get it done to the letter. There's no grace outside of faith. There's no grace in your performance. There's no grace in these things. So he says, it's only those who are faith and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. If Abraham's the patriarch, if Abraham's the pattern, if Abraham's the guy that got it right, Abraham's one of those. Not unlike a guy like Noah, who the Bible says walked with God. And because of that relationship with God, I'm telling you, Noah didn't have a prophet to tell him to build a boat. In fact, everybody around him thought he was stupid, foolish. Who builds a boat for over 100 years and ain't no water? I bought 4 or 5 boats in my 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th midlife crisis. And there's no water. We go to a pond over here at Lubbock, and they call it a lake. They lie, it's a lake. How silly is that? I mean, there's people think you're silly for living in Muleshoe and owning a boat. Now, if it's going to keep raining like it's been raining one of these days, we might just go boating right here in Bailey County one of these days. Who knows? I'm believing for that, too. But who'd be crazy enough to build a boat? Can you imagine the head slinging and the snot falling when there's loading all them animals on that boat and them family members, they got to get on there and they... Can you hear him? I told you the son goes crazy. He's been out here building on his boat. He's always talking to himself. Always looks like somebody's with him the way he's yakking around there. And now look at the crazy sucker's going to make us get on the boat. Let me tell you, about 39 days into that deal, they were pretty darn glad they was on the boat. One of these days, somebody around you is going to be glad you were crazy. Believe it or not, I'm the crazy one at our house. I'm the goofy one. And that ain't going away. You know why? I believe God. I don't just believe in him. I believe him. When he says something, you can believe it. Look over here right quick into James 2, and I'm not going to go into Hebrews 11, but Hebrews 11 talks about the faith of Abraham in a couple of places. I want you to think about, just like Abram, when God told him to get up and leave his home and go to a land, listen to this. He told him to get up and go to a land that he would someday possess. That land was full of all kinds of ites. They had termites, Mennonites, Hemathites, I don't know. They had all the Amorites and the Jezebites, and they had ites. They owned the land of Canaan. And as crazy as it sounded, God stood outside of a tent right there in Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. He sat right there with a 90-year-old woman inside and said, I'm going to give you offspring. Every nation's going to be blessed through you, Abram. I'm going to make them as many as the dirt, as much as the stars. Now, I need you to get up from here, and I need you to move out here. I need you to go. And he did it. He did it. He believed God. And he did it. Later on, God came to him and said, take your son Isaac and offer him to me up the mountain. That's a booger right there. That's a tough one. And he did it. It wasn't what he did that manifest righteousness. It was the fact that he believed God.
Well, that concludes our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.